Hi, and welcome to Super Engaging Podcast with your host, myself, Steve Halpern. I'm going to talk about anti-aging. The title I gave to the podcast is Super Anti-Aging. And for those who don't know, I'm 72 and a half. And biologically, I'm reaching about 45. How do I know? Because I work in a conjunction with a medical doctor, integrated medical doctor, Pauline Liss. I get to do all my tests and function. I almost never get tired. I sleep well. I do not need reading glasses, hearing aids, etc., etc., etc. I don't have skin wrinkling. I don't have gray hair. So how come? Because I biologically slow down and reverse the aging process. Now, how do you do that? We're aging every microsecond of life. We're aging from the time we're born. And there seem to be clocks inside ourselves. Some scientists call them methylation sites. You can look that up on Google, methylation. It's a turning on and turning off of genes, or gene switches, because it's not only the genes, it's whether the genes are turned on and turned off, and which genes are turned on and turned off. So, so important. Is your tumor suppression gene on or off? Is your antioxidant gene system turned on or off? Is your inflammation gene system turned on or off? A whole new way of approaching health and wellness. The name for this is called epigenetics, the switching on and off of genes, and the practical application is nutrigenomics. And how can nutrition and various nutrients affect gene expression? So really, if you want to get down to the basics, we now know that our health is determined by a good part by our genes, but we're not necessarily a victim of our genes, because genes interact with our environment and also things we consume. And certainly now we are understanding a connection between the microbiome, all those trillions of bacteria you have in your colon and various parts of your body, that also can affect gene expression. So that's the good news. The good news, hopefully, medicine, traditional medicine, will catch up with the science. And so what does this offer us? Extraordinary possibilities for change. You know, I had an individual who was very, very nice woman who was suffering from fibromyalgia for years and years and years. I take all sorts of medication. And Diane was in her younger days, and she's still young, an athlete. And I remind her that there's muscle memory. The muscles have memory, and when you don't use the muscles, they sort of get amnesia. And one of the big pieces is daily exercise, not just going to the gym once in a while, but looking, how can you add, not save steps, but add steps. I live in a third floor apartment in New York City, and I don't take the elevator. So if I go out 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 times, I'm doing the stairs. And if I'm going to the grocery store, I carry the groceries and not have them delivered. So one of the things you want to do, and one of the things I do when I'm working with individuals, not just a nutritionist, but in training them, is including exercise as part of your activities of daily living. Just like eating the good foods and feeding your microbiome and influencing positively your gene expression. So there are lots of ways to do that. Adequate sleep. Try and sleep around the same time and get up the same time every day, whenever possible. We've seen that shift work is very, very detrimental to health. And I advise people who are in shift schedules to at least take melatonin on the days they're off so that they can try and get a good cycle. And on the days they're off, get that natural light, get that sunlight. Every single cell in the body has not only an aging clock, but a time clock, circadian rhythms. And what you might notice, if you really listen to your body, is that there are times that you should eat and not eat. How are you going to know that? By tuning into your body. You know, there was an interesting research done on medications. Well, this was cancer medications, and they were using animals, but certainly can, the circadian rhythm certainly apply to human beings. And if a medication was given at one time, it wouldn't work. And was given another time, it worked. And I often find that people who have, say, food sensitivities or gluten problems or, you know, going through the long list, timing is really important. It might not bother you in the morning, but it's going to bother you at night or in the afternoon. So it comes down again to listening to your body. Make sure, so important, you turn off the computer at night. Don't sleep with lights in your room. Do whatever you can. That disrupts the circadian rhythm. And again, you know, in years and years of practice, the hardest part was explaining to individuals that what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another person. And so, again, gets really confusing because when you look on the web, everything is everything. Okay, this site tells you this is the way to go. Go paleo, go not paleo, go gluten-free, go, you know, go totally plant-based. It might not work for you. So there are basics that are really important, obviously. Anyone who's paying attention to health and health information realizes that sugar is bad in high amounts. And a processed food is not a great idea. That excessive amount, and this is controversial, but I always go on the conservative side, high fat intake is not, in my opinion, a great idea. And heavy meat consumption is not a great idea. You're taking iron in, and iron can accumulate in the body and cause lots of damage in the brain. Even if you don't have hemochromatosis, which is an iron storage disease, there seems to be definitely a connection between high iron and rusting in the body. And there are nutrition ways of dealing with that. And we can go into that in future podcasts. But the best way is just don't take a lot of iron. Now, if you're a menstruating woman, losing blood every month, you know, heavy periods, and you've had a blood test, and you're anemic, and you have low iron, certainly take some iron, and they make non-constipating iron. And that certainly can help make a difference. In fact, I was just getting back to Diane and fibromyalgia. And there was an interesting study that came out on the microbiome and fibromyalgia patients. And there was a very unique microbiome related to the fibromyalgia. Now, the question is, they haven't really answered the question yet, is it the fibromyalgia that's causing that type of microbiome, or is the microbiome contributing to the fibromyalgia? Well, I think certainly just work in the microbiome and experimenting with different probiotics. I have patients experiment with different ones because there's so many to try and figure out which one works. And unfortunately, microbiome testing is not really perfect yet. We really don't know. We really don't know everything we need to know about the microbiome. And that's why every day I see new research on it. Immune, brain, this, that. I think going with the diet makes sense. Avoiding unnecessary antibiotic makes sense. Eating unprocessed foods makes sense. Fiber, flaxseed, chicory, inulin, all sorts of fibrous products. Look on the label. When you look on the label, look how much fiber a food has. Raw foods don't need a label. So if you're eating lots of salad and some quinoa, and you can tolerate grains, you're going to get fiber in your fruits. You're going to get fiber in an apple and in berries. You're still going to all get fiber. And the suggestion is that a healthy intake of fiber might be around 15 grams. Most Americans are lucky to get 2 grams of fiber. That's why the most the most bought product in pharmacies is laxatives. And that has to be attributed to the diet. Yeah, sometimes stress can affect the GI, but certainly diet is so important. And again, you need to experiment with your diet. And as I keep reiterating, listening to your body. See how it feels. I eat this, doesn't feel good. I put this pill in my mouth, don't really feel that good. Okay. Listening is so important. And unfortunately, many of us have got to listen. And it's hard to listen when you're on processed foods, which disrupts the brain, and all sorts of medications that might not be necessary. Remember, only 50% and less of antidepressants really work. And I understand if someone is in a medical situation, they're going to commit suicide, go out a window, whatever. You know, of course, antidepressants work. But they're even gene expression switches in the brain tied into depression. And exercise is so important for positive gene expression. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. Please subscribe. Again, very soon I'll upload this to other podcast sites. If people have difficulty downloading this, and I'll keep you posted on this, and feel free to email me with questions or suggestions. And again, this is Steve Halpern, and thank you so much for listening.